Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Scarlett Russell, entertainment editor at the Sunday Times Style, and welcome to Secrets of the Side Hustle, the first episode of Series 3. If you're new to the podcast, this is a show where we speak to women who've developed their very own side hustle. From the seed of an idea to a thriving profit-making business, just how did these women do it? I'm going to speak to a wide range of women with very different and very unique businesses. From the worlds of food and lifestyle, technology and retail, beauty products, and even education, no matter what their speciality, each woman is full of useful, practical, and honest advice that can help you with your own side hustle. Whether you're starting out or a seasoned pro, we can all learn a little something. You won't want to miss one single episode, so why not subscribe now through Apple Podcasts, Acast, Spotify, or wherever you indulge your podcast habit. And while you're there, please give us a rating and share us with your friends, family, and followers. We're kicking off the series with a very special guest. Broadcaster and style cover girl Laura Jackson is here to tell us about setting up her side hustle, Host. Host is, well, it's a whole load of things, really. A newsletter, a supper club, a podcast. Think of it as the essential lifestyle brand for food, travel, and interior lovers. Born in Huddersfield, Laura studied events management at Leeds Polytechnic before moving to London in her early 20s. She's now 34 and lives with her husband John and baby daughter Sydney. As a presenter, Laura's fronted the quiz show Ready or Not on BBC One and Take Me Out, The Gossip on ITV2. What started off as a supper club with her friend Alice Levine a few years ago turned into a food column and cookbook, leading to Host launching in September 2019. This is her story. Hello, Laura. Thank you so much for joining us on Secrets of the Side Hustle.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
So, Laura, first of all, can you explain what Host is?
It is a supper club and lifestyle brand, but it's still kind of evolving. So in essence, it's everything that I love in a business, which I feel so lucky to be able to do. Recipes, supper clubs, and the podcast. And then we work with brands as well. So it's kind of like a four-arm business. Okay. The brands is kind of more of the curation side. So we work with brands and individuals on curating something that brings that host element, that host energy to their brand. Hopefully working on a homeware-y, kitchen-y collab at the moment. So yeah, it's just a lifestyle brand.
Also part of Host is a newsletter as well. Is that written by yourself?
Yeah, the newsletter isn't sponsored at all. It's all completely authentic content, which is my content, which is things that I've seen, things that I like, things that I want to write about. It's never like anyone's gone, hey, come and stay here for free. Will you write about it in my newsletter? I'd definitely say no. It's completely unbiased.
The jump from TV presenting to running a supper club lifestyle brand might not seem like the most obvious of journeys, but for Laura, it just made sense. It wasn't her first foray into food either, as a few years earlier, she had set up a supper club with fellow broadcaster and good friend, Alice Levine.
I absolutely love telly. I watch an insane amount of television. So I loved that aspect of my job, but I felt like I needed a creative outlet. I've always made things or been creative, and I felt at times I didn't have that outlet. So yeah, I started a supper club with Alice, which was really fun. And that gave me the opportunity to do everything that I felt really passionate about. I think a lot of things that we did with Jackson Levine kind of were quite accidental because it was so passion-led. But things with Host have been passion led, but hustling and hard work and making that into, you know, a side business, a side hustle, as well as TV.
I think it's part of that whole slash kind of concept of working. You know, you can be an influencer slash writer slash whatever it is. So many people, it's a different way of working now. You don't have to do just one thing. Passions and interests can come together. You just figure out what you want to do and how to make it work.
I always knew from a very, very early age that I did not want to work at a desk and have a picture of my family on the desk. I used to say that to my mum all the time. I just couldn't do it. So I feel like I just needed to not be caged. I needed to like be able to just go and do loads of different things. Yeah. And I feel like I've worked really hard at curating and carving out this job for myself.
Well, let's talk about how it came about, really. So host launched officially last September in 2019. Yeah. Where did that seed of the idea come from? And tell me the story of its origin and how you created it up until its launch.
I feel like I've met so many different people around a dinner table, whether that's been at friends' houses or going to restaurants. And at my house, the dinner table is a real hub. It's where we sit down and talk about ideas, where we have dinners, where friends come and have drinks. Don't know if this is a good or a bad thing. I'm an oversharer. So if anyone ever says to me, oh my God, what do you think about this? I'm like, come over for dinner, come and have a drink, come and have a cup of tea and sit around the table and we'll just bounce ideas around. And I just get such a kick of people meeting new people and friends and breaking bread and boundaries around a dinner table. And I kind of wanted to create a business that evolved around a table and that was different people meeting and talking and making friends and building a community. I find restaurants really annoying when they give you an hour's slot where your comes at different times, where it's small plates that cost £1 million. And I just wanted to create something that was very fun and not around boundaries and nothing that's limitless. So sometimes that's really hard why I find it hard to explain what Host is, because it is limitless. It's around food and it's around lifestyle and it's around interiors, but it's around people and it's around the community. And I think I'm still figuring it out.
So part of it is supper clubs. Would that be more renting places that you would bring people to and they would buy a ticket for it for supper? Or would you host in your own house?
So every month we do a supper club. I mean, we started in January. Obviously, we couldn't go ahead with our March supper club. Every month we do an event, whether it's at my house or whether it's on location. We had plans to do one in Italy, on the Isle of Scilly, in London. And anybody can buy a ticket. You can only bring one person with you. So that gives you the opportunity to meet new people. But that's essentially at the heart of it, is supper clubs once a month.
And what are the ticket prices ranging from? I mean, I'm sure it depends on whether it's in London or abroad, but what kind of ballpark are we looking at here?
At mine, it was like 40, which is like four courses and a cocktail. They are inexpensive for what you get.
Right. And of course, part of Host as well, you have your own podcast, which has a sponsorship as well. So I'm interested in how you can generate money from your side hustle. So presumably you have the tickets, you have sponsorship. How does that all work, the financial aspect?
Any money from the supper clubs. The supper clubs are about other people, and I want other people to make friends and have an experience that they wouldn't ordinarily have. And then I make money from working with brands. You know, a lot of brands will come to me and say, could you curate a dinner for us? And it's kind of amazing how you think that everybody knows 10 different illustrators and 10 different florists and where to get tablecloths from, but they don't. There's a book called The Art of Gathering, and being somebody who can gather people is a real skill that's not to be undervalued at all.
Now, obviously, it's not easy turning a side hustle into a business. You make good decisions and bad ones, but often you can learn just as much from one as you do the other. So what did Laura do for Host that really paid off?
I feel like one of the best things that I ever did was getting a team to help me and to bring my ideas to life. I think that it's really great to do a lot of things on your own and to kind of be the creative driving force behind something that's yours, but to be able to hand over control and let somebody else help you and guide you, for me, was important.
How many people are there in the business?
Three. I have like a kitchen manager who helps me with recipes and recipe development. And then I have a studio manager who helps me. I'm so dyslexic.
Really? I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
I don't know you are two. And, you know, I'm terrible. So I have someone that I basically write the newsletter, which is completely illegible, and then my lovely studio manager will make it readable so that you don't think a small child has written it. Someone once emailed me saying that I think this was another reason why I wanted to get some help, was that they'd pointed out loads of spelling mistakes in my newsletter. It's quite a big thing for me to write something completely on my own and put it out there for people to read, and then for someone to get back to me and say, hey, this is crap and you spelled all these things wrong. I felt really sad. I felt really sad that someone had gone out of their way to tell me that I hadn't done a good job.
But I guess that would be something of a wake-up call for you to be like, okay, this isn't my strength. I need a bit of help in this area.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It did knock my confidence a bit, but I always think, well, how can I get around this, or what can I do to make it better?
I mean, look, you can't do everything. This is why we need people to help us with businesses.
Totally. Nobody, like, it's all about having the right team around you and about you being as involved as possible and being as creative as possible, kind of working hard, but working with a great team.
What if you have no idea where to find people like that? You're in a completely new industry. Is it about taking recommendations from people, asking around?
I didn't have a clue, like literally no clue. And I didn't really know who. I knew I needed some help because I was finding it very overwhelming and difficult with a baby and having doing TV stuff and brand stuff and then starting this business. I'm not Superwoman. There's only so many hours in the day. And I had no idea who I wanted, what I wanted, and where to look for it. I decided that I would put an advert out on my Instagram because I put everything else out there. If I'm talking about a nice shoe that I like or a vase or whatever, I was like, that seems like the place where I'd find somebody who was actually interested. So I did a little advert and I got like 250 CVs. I was like, oh my God. But what a sad, I loved reading everyone's CVs. Wow. I was like, people are amazing. It's
wow.
Great. And then I did some interviews and I thought I wanted one person and I met two people.
I mean, I'm really interested also, Laura, in the side hustle aspect. Host really came about when you were on maternity leave, but you were still very much, your career was still, would you say it was more TV presenting was still your main career at that point?
It's sometimes very hard for people, like you were talking earlier about the slash thing. It's very, very hard, I feel like, for certain people to understand what I do, which blows my mind. But yeah, I kind of sometimes have to explain to people that I am a broadcaster and I do TV, which I love, and I also do host. And actually they feed into one another. It makes me a more well-versed, interesting, broader-minded presenter because I have these genuine interests. Food, interiors, and travel, like I live, eat, and breathe that. So for me, it's part of a story.
Perhaps for most people who are thinking about starting a side hustle, maybe a good place to start is kind of, well, what your interests are, like you, but also what fits into your job already and what you can realistically juggle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main thing is passion. Success means different things to different people. For me, I think that you are successful if you're doing something that you're really passionate about and you love, and you can thrive in that space. So there's no point starting a side hustle with something that you've got no interest in.
One of the biggest money spinners for any new business is partnerships. Big brands are more than just the products they sell. They're on Instagram, on Twitter, they're making their own content and collaborating with influencers as well as other brands, something that Laura has taken real advantage of.
I think I get a lot of brands coming to me asking to collaborate, work together, but I only ever work with brands that I use or that I really love or I've kind of got an association with. And then I will also reach out to brands that I really like. And I think that's kind of quite, I quite like doing that. I think that it's really important. I always say no one's going to come and knock on my door and say, hey, we've got this great thing for you. You've got to put in the work and you kind of got to reach out to people and be visible, but have a good idea and make sure it's your idea. It's not anybody else's idea and it's unique to you. Brands now have got a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of influence. You know, they're doing sponsored content for mainstream television and for online, for social platforms, because they have got the money to be able to create things.
I'm sure there's a lot of listeners now who have a smaller profile, I guess. And what would be your advice to them to seek out a brand? How does one even go about doing that?
I honestly think that brands love everybody from micro-influencers, people that have got really small followings, to people that have got big followings. It's really important that brands represent everybody. When I was doing Jackson and Levine and we wanted some sponsorship for a supper club, we reached out to Habitat and said, we love Habitat. Do you think you'd be interested in giving us a discount on some glasses? And we had a small Instagram following. Nobody knew anything about us. Supper clubs, we did not invent the supper club, but we were very early adapters of the movement. And they said yes. And I think it's about just speaking to brands who you really like, who you're really passionate about, whether it's authentic and it's honest. And I don't believe it's about numbers. And I don't believe it should be either. I think it should always be about authenticity.
I never would have thought about it like that, because I always assume that you have to have these huge profiles, followers, all of this. But I guess, well, first of all, you don't know until you try. Second of all, the brands want to be reaching out to people as well. It sort of helps, because if you get that brand on board, your following will grow, and then that you've worked with them right from the beginning, you formed a relationship with them. I think these brands like loyalty as well, don't they? So if you with them then, and then you get huge, it's a good place to be.
Absolutely. And I still do bits and pieces with Habitat now, and that's been a relationship that's, you know what, 8 years, I think.
And you know what? You reach out to a brand. What's the worst they can do is say, no, thank you. And right?
Who cares if they say no? If they say no, you start like a nice DM chat with them. You made a friend. I think it's like great.
Do you manage your own social media account as well as hosts, or do you help doing that?
No, I do it all myself.
Oh, cool.
All myself. Do people have other people doing their Instagrams for them? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. Oh. I mean, it is a thing.
No, it's my personal account, and host is my host is my baby. Yeah, no, it's always, I talk about host online as we, because I feel like with the team, it's like, it's very collaborative. It's about us, and we talk about ideas together. I would never, ever say, oh, I love this, if I don't.
Hello, I'm Stig Abel.
I'm Asma Mir, and you can hear our breakfast programme on Times Radio.
Join us as we talk to special guests about everything you need to know for the day ahead.
Listen to our morning show for free on DAB Radio, your smart speaker, at times.radio and via our Times Radio app. Every Monday to Thursday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Times Radio. Know your times.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the things I love about this podcast is that we get to see what the average day is like in the life of a female entrepreneur running her business. I asked Laura how she made it work.
I don't really know, if I'm honest, about how I divide my time. I just do, and I just get on with it. I could never go, hey, I'm starting work at 9 and I'm finishing at 6, no matter what I'm doing. I don't work like that.
Okay, that's interesting. So there's no like 8 a.m. is emails, 1 p.m. there's none of that. It's just kind of depending what the day's throwing you and what happens.
Oh God, I can never be that organized. I'm not that person. I can never be that person.
Okay.
I'm impulsive, right. I'm sporadic. I'm a bit like all over the place.
But you must be organized. I think anyone who works as much as you do, how are you organized?
To-do lists. I'm a list person, like a crazy person. Yeah, I am. I'm organized, but in a kind of in a chaotic way, if that makes sense. I'm sometimes, my bedroom's our bedroom. I always get told off. I was like, it's not your house, it's not your wedding, I'm a part of this as well. I'm like, you're a silent partner, shut up. Sometimes like our bedroom's a mess, but I know where everything is, if that makes sense. So that's kind of the person that I am.
Are you writing lists on your phone, or are you a notebook person, pen to paper?
Both. I've got notebooks around the house everywhere, but yeah, I think if I'm on the go, it's on my phone, but I do have a notepad and pen. There's nothing, I quite like that tangible ticking off thing.
Feels great, doesn't it? Feels so good. Yeah. Crossing out or ticking off.
I'm just the saddo, you know, I'm like, wash hair, tick, achieved something.
Do you go into that much detail on your to-do lists? Wash your hair. Really?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I love a to-do list. I have to-do lists about to-do lists. I know, I'm not organized, but then the thing is with the supper clubs and things like that, I have to be very, very, very methodical, especially when, you know, it's other people and it's health and safety and it's managing a team. Absolutely. But then with my TV life, I'm so lucky, you know, I get lots of people to help me with those things. So it's kind of a bit of a balancing act.
Just going back very quickly to Instagram, social media in general, how important do you think that is for new or growing businesses?
I mean, it's very important, isn't it? It's your shop window now.
Do you have any tips of like, I mean, your Instagram looks great. I think because you're all about the detail and you're quite, and you know, all the interior, you're super creative. But I'll tell you, I am not a creative person in that way. I mean, I can write, I'm a journalist. My Instagram does not look good. I'm not a great photographer, but I would love to build my brand. I guess loads of listeners out there are the same. What can we do? What's a good place to start in making your Instagram look good and posting the right stuff and knowing when to post and knowing what to post?
Like, I'm not an expert at all, but I just think being authentic for me is just the most important thing. And if you're a florist, you know, it's about posting incredible florist pictures. And if they're not yours, making sure that you credit where you got the image from. And then if they are yours, making sure the light's great, it's a good picture, you've thought about your image and your caption. And but then not overthinking it too much, because it's got to be thoughtful, but you don't want to spend like a week thinking about putting up one picture. Yeah, I just think it's about being authentic. And I feel like people can really see when you're not being authentic.
Each one of our guests has received countless pieces of advice over the years, and I wanted to know which one really stuck with Laura.
I think just follow your passion. Everyone was going to university and people that I know were studying like English literature or science, and I just didn't. You know, it sounds really silly, but I just liked people and I liked events, and you know, I was umming and ahhing about whether I could go to Leeds Polytechnic and study parties for 4 years, but that's what I love. And I feel like just following what you're passionate in, you can never ever go wrong. And now, I never thought I'd have this lifestyle kind of event supper club business, which actually everything that I learned at university has really put me in a good place for starting this business, and I never thought it would do.
First of all, I think that's terrific advice if you are very clear on what your passion is. So I feel that sometimes you can have loads of interests and it's all a bit scattered and, oh, I love this, I love that, and love that. What if you are passionate about lots of things and you're not sure about how to bring them together? I mean, is there any thought that you would have, you know, if your friend came to you and they said, oh, I love this and that, but they're not really related, what would you say to them?
You know, I went to Shelley High School in Huddersfield, and my options were, do you want to work in the beauticians? Do you want to fix cars? Do you want to be a nurse? Do you want to be a dentist? And I didn't want to be any of those things. I didn't feel like I didn't fit in at school. I was dyslexic. I had to have help. I had to have help at university write my dissertation because I'm dyslexic. And I always felt like there was never a place for me because it was a smart world for smart people who read books. And I didn't fit into that mold. And it wasn't until I did my placement year at university where I was like, hey, this is food. And even like the logistics and the production and the party design and the menu design and working in the linen cupboard, and I thrived and I loved it. And it wasn't until I did that work experience that I really felt a bit more of a place, that I had a place in the world. So I would say use those passions and contact people, follow those people on Instagram that you admire who are doing something, you know, that you're passionate in, do some work experience, work some evening jobs and figure out what you like about those jobs and what you don't like about those jobs. Finding out what you don't like is just as important as finding out what you do like.
Now time for our What She Said segment. What She Said is a column in Style where each week, powerful and inspiring women from across dozens of different industries answer burning career questions. Today, the question we have for Laura is, I feel like I'm not achieving what I normally can. What can I do to move forward?
I would say make lists and think about what you want to achieve and how you want to get there. I think it's about small bite-sized steps rather than thinking about the big main goal at the end. It doesn't have to, I think we are so obsessed with being successful in our 20s or as teenagers because that's what we read in magazines, where it's actually about taking it step by step, making learnings from mistakes or positive experiences that have happened, but it's about bite-sized steps for sure. And just because you ran at one level of productivity doesn't mean you have to run like that all the time. I think it's about being at peace with some days you're going to be way more productive than others. And some weeks you're going to take a step back. And those times where you are being productive because you're thinking about things and you're having space to think and your brain isn't overwhelmed. So it's just being at peace with the fact that you're not running at 100 miles an hour all of the time.
Now for our brand new feature, Throw Forward. Each week, I'll ask our female founder to give us a question they want answered, and we'll throw it forward to the following guest. Next week, I'll be sitting down with Binnie Bamba founder, Emma Grant. So what question does Laura have for her?
I would like to know how to stay relevant and authentic.
It was so great talking to Laura, and I wanted to finish with one simple question. What is the future of Host?
I would like it to be a successful business, and what a successful business for Host looks like is having a homeware brand, more of the supper clubs, more of a community, and a hub where people come together and feel that they can be a part of something and that they have a voice within the Host community. And do you know what? I'd love to have a food show. I'd love to kind of meet other people that perhaps want to start a supper club or want to start a food business and be able to help them and inspire them. I love meeting people. So the fact that that's a part of my job and a part of Host is just, yeah, it feels like a real honor. I love people.
Laura, it has been such a joy speaking to you and finding out all about your business and your day-to-day workings. It sounds like it will be thriving post-lockdown. And thank you so much, Laura, for speaking to the Secrets of the Side Hustle, and have a gorgeous day.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. What have you got planned for the rest of your day?
More Zooms.
Great.
Yay. Love a Zoom.
A massive, huge thank you to Laura Jackson for being such a brilliant guest, kicking off our new series in Style. You can find out more about Host, spelt H-O-S-T-E, at hostlondon.co.uk. On Instagram, they're at hostlondon. And while you're there, feel free to give me a follow as well, at Scarlett Rose Russell. That's it for episode one of series three. I'll be back next week with some more Secrets of the Side Hustle from Binnie Bamba founder Emma Grant.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.